Good morning. I'm glad to see everyone who is with us this morning. I forgot to give this announcement to Bruce, so pardon for this for just a moment. But starting next Sunday, there's going to be, if you want to show up at 4 o'clock on the first Sunday of the month, if you're interested in going to Panama, we're going to have some Spanish lessons, okay, so that maybe we can be a little more equipped if we want to go down there. So 4 o'clock next Sunday, after the elders meeting, the congregational meeting that they have. If you want to show up, we'll go over some basic Spanish stuff. Bobby and Claudia have graciously volunteered to coach us since she knows the language. So just kind of put that on your radar, especially if you're interested in going to Panama. And I apologize for not getting that to Bruce earlier. I'm sorry, brother. I forgot. All right. I got the finger shake just in case y'all didn't see that. All right. January. It's January, and actually it's at the end of January. Where did it go? Like, for honestly and truly, I can't believe that 1 month into this new year has already passed. Is it me, or as the older you get, does time go faster? Because I swear, it was just New Year's. Like, I mean, it can't be the end of January, right? It blows my mind how quickly things go. And that just adds to kind of what I want to tell you this morning. You know, I'm sure like a lot of you guys do, I kind of take at the end of December, beginning of January, I take some time to reflect. I reflect on the year past, what's happened, what's gone on. It kind of helps me know, you know, where I've grown. It also helps me know where I need to grow, right? And so I do that. That's just kind of a habit of mine. You know, I reflect on God's blessings for my family and myself. We have a blessing jar. If you ever come over to our house, if you look on the fireplace mantle, there's a blessing jar. And anytime something good happens to us, we write it on a slip of paper and we put it in the jar. And then at the end of the year, New Year's Day, or New Year's Eve, I guess, we pull that jar off and we sit around as a family and we review all the blessings that God has given us that year. You know, it's open to anybody. Our kids can do it. You know, they put in stuff. And so, you know, you get to see what your family has seen as a blessing. And it reminds you, because, you know, we often forget how good God has been to us. And so I reflect on the goodness of God. I reflect on things that God has allowed me to accomplish. You know, I look at things like, hey, you know, how am I doing my job? How did things go? How are things going financially? You know, am I managing my money well? How are things going with my family spiritually? Are we growing? Are we maturing? You know, I kind of do some reflection on the things that God has allowed me to accomplish. And I also reflect on some of the things that God has accomplished through me. You know, I think about some of the things that I've done. You know, how many people that were in need of comfort did I go to? How many people that were crying did I lend a shoulder to? How many people that were struggling did I lift up and encourage? How many people that were in sin did I confront? How many people did I help disciple? How did I do that? And I think about this. Is this my habit? I don't know if all you guys do all that or not, but that's what I do every year. I did that this past year as well, and I came to a realization that honestly has had me a little disappointed in myself. I realized that in 2019, I had been deceived. I was deceived. I let myself be fooled. You see, there's this person that was saying one thing, and they were telling me all the right things, and, you know, I should have noticed. I should have noticed that their actions and their words weren't lining up. I should have picked up on that. I'm normally pretty observant. I can normally pick up on some things, but I missed it. I didn't catch it. I should have been aware that there was something not quite right going on. It's, I'll be honest, I don't like being deceived. Matter of fact, ask any of my kids, and they'll tell me, do you want to make dad mad? That is the most surefire way to get yourself busted in a heartbeat. Deceived. And don't jump to any conclusions, all right? It's not my children, all right? It's not, I'm talking about them. I'm not talking about my wife. But I will tell you, I am talking about somebody that's here today. In this room, right now with us. I'm talking about somebody that I know. And I know well. Somebody that said, oh, I'm doing my best. And they honestly knew better that they weren't. And before you start looking at your neighbors, right? I'm just going to tell you, that person was me. I deceived myself. I tricked myself. And I want to tell you how, when I reflected on 2019, I realized something. I realized that this is the first year that I can remember in a long, long time that I have not been, or I have not played a major part in bringing somebody to Christ. I'm not saying I'm the one that baptized them, because I think it's great when dads baptize their own children. But it's the first year in a long time that I can't look back and say I had a part in that. I helped this person know Jesus Christ. And the hardest pill for me to swallow is that whole year long, I was telling myself I was doing the very best I could for God. I'm giving this, I'm doing that, I'm busy here, I'm busy there, I'm going. But what was I really accomplishing? Was I really giving God my best? Because I'll be honest, I did a good job deceiving myself, because it wasn't until after the year was pretty well over and I thought back that I realized where I had been deficient. What about you? Do you understand what I'm getting at? Do you understand my frustration? The disappointment in realizing that you have deceived yourself? I mean, have you ever thought about the fact that, and realized that maybe you deceive yourself sometimes? Have you ever wondered about that? Maybe we deceive ourselves like I did through busyness. You know? We've got to work more and more because there's just so much out there that we have to, quote unquote, have to get done. That we're so busy doing things that we forget the most important thing. You know, I would love to do X, Y, or Z, but I just don't have the time. You ever said that to yourself? Maybe it is that we are deceived through our own insecurity, right? Maybe that's what we do. We know that there's something out there that we want, but we're not, you know, we're not quite sure that we can get it or we can get it done. And so we give it a try, and maybe a couple tries even. And we don't succeed. And so we turn ourselves away and we say, oh, it really wasn't that important anyway. That doesn't really matter that much. Maybe we deceive ourselves that way. Maybe we have deceived ourselves through the refusal to own our own consequences of our actions. Right? Maybe we've done that. And so the situation that we find ourselves in, we place on somebody else's shoulders. It's their fault, right? Well, the only reason that that person has succeeded and I haven't is because that they are fill in the blank, right? You ever had those people that you've known in your life? Everything seems to go right for them and nothing seems to go right for you, and so you blame them? Maybe we've done that. What about this one? Maybe it's not that. Maybe it's something that we do here at the here at the church for God. Maybe we look at things that other people are doing and we go, hey, you know, if I had been in charge, that would have gone better because. And we deceive ourselves through our own insecurities. I want to ask you, how many times do you think, or have you ever thought about the fact that we might deceive ourselves in our service to God? Because I'll tell you the truth. Here's what I think. I believe that not only can we do this, but oftentimes we do. We deceive ourselves. Anytime that we hear those kinds of statements coming out of our mouths, anytime that those kinds of statements are in our minds and in our hearts, I want to challenge you to really pause and ask the question, is this the truth? Or am I deceiving myself? Because sometimes, maybe more times than we care to admit, it's not really about them. It's about us. And we don't like what we see. And so we deceive ourselves. And I don't want you to just take my word for this. I want you to understand what God has to say about this. And I want you to ask yourself the question, have I been deceived? Have I been deceived? Right? If you look at James chapter 1 and verses 22 through 25, I want us to turn, I'll open your Bibles this morning. This is going to be our text for this morning. The text reads this. He says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." I want us to spend some time this morning and understand what the Bible teaches. Because here's a problem with the American church. The American church by large is full of hearers and lacking in doers. For most people, many people think that hearing is the same as doing. Oh, I went to church and I heard this great lesson. I went to Bible class and I learned this wonderful thing. I went to this men's study. I went to this ladies' class. I went to all these things. I went to this conference and I heard this, and there were some great lessons. Wonderful. I am so glad. I am thrilled. But what are you doing with what you heard? What are we doing? You see, we can go to conferences. We can talk about topics like church growth and evangelism. We can talk about discipleship, and we can think that we've made progress, but here's the truth. What progress have you actually made if all you did was hear about it? What progress have we made? And don't get me wrong, okay? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with going to these meetings and getting new ideas and talking about these things. But what I am saying is that if all we do is hear about it and maybe talk about it and stop there, brethren, that is sinful. We can't just be a hearer of the word. We have to be a doer. We have to take what we've heard and put it into our lives. Those lessons have to translate into action. You know, I was looking at this, and there was I saw this great thing. This preacher was challenging the congregation that he was preaching at, and he did it. He asked them this one question, and I love this question. I'm going to throw it out to you, and I want you to really think about it. Here's the question that he asked them. He said, "I challenge you to ask this question of yourself: what have you done today that nobody but a Christian would do?" I want you to think about that. What have you done today that nobody but a Christian would do? Did you go to work? Great. Do non-Christians do that? Well, yeah, they do. So that doesn't count. Did you love your spouse? Great. Non-Christians do that too. Were you polite to people? Great. Non-Christians do that too. What have you done today that only a Christian would do? Do you see the question that I'm asking? In other words, are you taking God's principles and living a life that shows those principles in you? Are you unique? Are you standing apart from the world? James here compares the word to a mirror, right? He does. He says, you know, the word, the person that hears and doesn't do, he's like the person that looks in the mirror. What's the purpose of a mirror? The purpose of a mirror is so that when before you walk out the door, right, you can check and make sure that everything's in order. You ever had a day where you walked out the house looking like that? Right? Everything, you just got up, it was late, you were running around like crazy, you ran out the door, and you get to where you're going, and you realize, man, that hair in the back of my head is waving at everybody as that wind blows, right? And you look, and you actually pause, you go to the bathroom to fix your hair, and you look, and your shirt's button crooked. And you're like, man, what did I do this morning? Was I half asleep? Right? Have you had one of those days? I guarantee you I have, okay? I'm just going to confess. I have done that. And college doesn't count, okay? I'm just going to throw that out too, because I did that on purpose. I slept as late as I could, right? But sometimes I think we do the same thing spiritually. We're so caught up in what we feel like we have to get done. We're so busy running around doing all these things that all we do is we take a glance at ourselves and we forget what we really look like. We don't see. We don't take the time to make sure that everything's in order. We just run around trying to get things done. And I'll be honest with you, we can't do that very well. See, this is the mirror that God wants us to look into. He says, look into the mirror, look into my word, look into what I need from you, what I want from you, what my desire for you is. And I'll be honest with you, I think sometimes what we do is we might go through the word of God. We'll do our Bible reading, right? We'll read a chapter a night, or we'll do whatever it is. And we read through the word, but the word doesn't go through us. We don't pause and evaluate. We don't contemplate what we look like in God's sight. And the second thing is, we forget what we look like. We forget. When you really come into contact with Jesus, when you really pause and consider who God is, guess what? You won't forget. I want you to think about some of the people in the Bible that ran into God. I want you to think about Isaiah when he had his vision before the throne. He said, "Woe is me. I am undone, for I am a sinful man." You think Isaiah ever forgot who he was in the sight of God? Think about Peter, right? In Luke chapter 5 and verse 8, Peter falls down at Jesus' feet saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." When is the last time that we've done that? When is the last time that we really held up God's mirror and looked at our lives and said, "What do I look like in your sight, God? Am I okay? Am I putting my life in order? Or am I a wreck? Am I a mess? Is there some things that I really need to fix?" You see, that's the power of God's word. We need to be those people that don't just look quickly and walk away. We don't just look and then forget. But we realize and we recognize who we are through the mirror of God's word. And then not only do we do that, but we take that and we translate it into action, right? That's what verse 25 says. "But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres," catch this, "being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed." How? In his doing. In his doing. Notice what the emphasis that James is pointing at there. We have to be doing. We have to be those who look at the word, look in the mirror of the word, and we see what God's design and desire for us is, and we go, "Okay, I'm going to walk that pathway." Right? God's word, James tells us right here, is meant to be done and not just heard. Not just heard. Right? It's meant to shape our lives so that we live in accordance with His will. All right, think about it this way. God's word is meant for application, not just contemplation. How are you going to change your life based on this? Because I'll be honest, in short, that's God's goal for us. His goal for us is to be changed into the image of His Son. His goal for us is change. He wants us to be something different instead of just think about being something different. Right? He wants us to grow, to mature spiritually. That's what God wants from us. And the way I read it, brethren, sometimes I don't think we get there. And what I'm saying is this, it's not enough to impart Bible knowledge. Right? I'm glad you're here this morning. I'm glad you, if you came to class, I'm glad you did that. If you come to Wednesday, I'm glad you do that. But listen to me. Please hear me. That's not enough. Just having the knowledge in your head just is not enough. Because you're just a hearer at that point. For it to be enough, we have to take what we've heard and we have to go to that extra step. We have to become a doer. It has to change the way we are, who we are, how we think, how we live, how we speak. It has to affect our lives. It has to impact us. The goal isn't for you guys to feel engaged in the worship service. I love you. I hope that you get something out of Ray's messages and my messages, but that's not my goal. That's not his goal. Our goal is not to make you feel enthralled with us. Because to be honest, I'm not here to worship you. I'm here to worship him. I hope he's enthralled. I hope he's pleased. Right? But here's the idea. My goal is that your life will be transformed into God's desires for you in every arena. Finances, family, spirituality, spiritual growth, all of those things. I want you to become more and more a child of God each and every day. We're talking career. We're talking relationships. We're talking every area of life you can think of needs to be submitted to God. And not just in words. Oh, yes, God, I give you my life. Do you really? Then why do you still do this? God, I give you this relationship. Then why are you still with an ungodly person? Why, God, I give you my finances. Then why do you still cheat your boss? Why do you cheat on your taxes? God, I give you my family. Then why do you not teach them spiritual things and give them that example to follow? You see what I'm saying? We give a lot of lip service. We hear a lot of lessons. We need to make sure that those go into actions. Because here's the simple truth, and James is trying to tell us this. Guys, this kind of trust that we have in God here is developed when we act on what we know. I don't know if you've ever realized that, but faith grows in our acts of obedience. Because when we act in obediently, that intersects with God's faithfulness. And at that point, that's where our faith can grow. When we say, this doesn't make sense to me, but God, this is your will, so I'm going to do it anyway, and God blesses us and walks alongside of us, at that point, our faith in God can grow. Right? That's what he's saying. Right? But a doer who acts will be blessed. How? In his doing. We want our faith to grow. We want our relationship with God to go. It requires us to be a doer. To take what we learn from God's word and acts. And when we see God working and coming into contact with our lives and our efforts, our faith grows. That's how that works. We have to be a doer, not just a hearer. And so I want to ask you, are you a doer or are you a hearer? I'll be honest, after talking about this idea of how easy it is to deceive ourselves, what is your goal? How do you define success in life? What's important to you? What's taking priority in your actions? Not your words, but your actions. Let me ask you this. What concerns you more? What you're doing on Sunday or what you're going to do on Monday? Because let me tell you, it's easy here. It's easy to come and sit around like-minded people and to lift up our voices and praise God together and pray together And it's easy to say, oh, yes, I love God. I give Him everything today. But what about tomorrow? What about the next day? And the day after that? You see, that's what God wants. His desire for us is to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And I'm here to tell you, if that's His goal, then as His people, that should be our goal. We should want that. And so the question that I want to challenge you to start asking yourself as you leave every Sunday is, what will I do with what I've heard? What will I do with it? How will it change my life? How will it change the life of my family? How will it change the way I interact with my coworkers? How will it change the way I interact with my children or my parents or my grandchildren? How will this change me? How will I be a doer of the word? I want you to ask yourself that question. Which describes you best? Are you a hearer or a doer? And listen, I don't want you to sit here and answer with a comfortable answer, okay? I don't want you to sit here and go, oh yes, Jonathan, I'm a doer. Because you're in church, man, that's what you're supposed to say. I want you to answer it this way. Think about last week. What did you do that only a Christian would do? In the whole past 7 days, what have you done that only a Christian would do? That's the way I want you to answer that question. Are we a doer or a hearer only? You see, to be a doer, something has to have been done. So what have you done? What did you do for God? Who did you reach out to? Who did you comfort? Who did you tell about Jesus? How did you bring honor and glory to God Almighty and to His Son? I'll be honest, it's really easy to deceive ourselves. You know, one of the other reflections I do is on my physical health. And I went to the doctor in December, towards the end of December. I had some bronchitis stuff, and I stepped on that scale, you know, that scale in the doctor's office, right? All the ladies go, yes, because it's the one where they take off their coat and they put down their like 50-pound purse and they take off their shoes. And, if they have an overcoat on, they might even take that off before they step up there, right? All the ladies are like, I'm not going to say that, but that's what I do. Okay? That scale is dreaded and evil, right? Because I stepped on this scale and this number popped up and I thought, uh-uh. That's a lie. So, you know, because us guys, sometimes we're a little hard-headed, right? And ladies are like, yes. Okay. So I was working at the hospital just like the next day. And I went to that scale and I was like, ha, I'm going to check, see how accurate that. Oh, no. That can't be right either. Right? So then, like the next day, you know, I get out, I go home and sleep. And I get up the next day and I go and I step on the scale in my bathroom. And it says the same thing. And I'm like, what? Wow. Because here's the thing. Do you think I don't look in the mirror? I mean, I'll be honest. And this is kind of embarrassing, but I'll be honest with you. That was the heaviest I've ever been in my life. And I saw myself in the mirror every day. And you know what I told myself? Yeah, not that much different. It's okay. It's about the same. Yeah, maybe a little. It's okay, though. It's just a little bit. But that little bit added to the other little bit, added to the other little bit, added equaled a lot. It's easy for us to trick ourselves, to deceive ourselves. And so here's what I want you to understand. In order to use God's words effectively, we can't just look just briefly. We can't look at the surface level stuff. We have to take it and we have to dive deep and we have to contemplate our lives in light of what He has to say. ask ourselves truly, am I doing this? And that takes time. It takes attention. It takes dedication. I told my wife, I said, I've got to do something. So I started exercising. I'm going to tell you what. I hate 4:30 and 5 o'clock in the morning. I thought I would never, ever in my life get up that early. But I am. Why? Because I've got to change. I can't just talk. I mean, here's a nurse telling people about their health problems who got his own health problems and wasn't doing a thing about it. Why don't you go home today and pick up the mirror and look at your life and say, do I have some health problems? Some spiritual health problems. What changes do I need to make so that I am not just a hearer, but I am a doer of the word? I think as a preacher, it's my job to help you do that. I think as a preacher, I've been thinking about this. Since this change is going on for me, I'm going to help you with yours. Like it or not, love it or hate it, that's what's coming, just so you know. And so I'm going to ask for your help on this. I'm going to send out, if you got an email address in the church directory here in the next couple of days, you're going to get a survey, a link for a survey. I want you to fill that out. And it's going to ask you some questions. It's going to ask you what your struggles are with your family, with your job, with your finances, with your children, with your grandchildren, with your spouse. It's going to ask you what you think you're doing well. It's going to ask you where you think you're weak. I want you to fill that out. Because you see, that's going to help me know how to help you be a doer and not just a hearer. Not just somebody that comes and sits and goes home and says, oh, wasn't that a great lesson? Don't get me wrong. I love it when people say that, shaking my hand on the way out. But listen, you know what I love even more? When somebody comes back and says, you know what I've done since your lesson? This is how it's changed me. Be honest with you. I'd rather have that than 50 of the great lessons. Because that's what God wants. I want you to think about what that would look like. What would it look like if we were to determine today, right here, right now, before we walk out those doors, what if we were determined to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only? What would that look like? What would that be like in your life today? What would that look like? What changes would happen? What would stay the same? I can tell you this. I can tell you that you wouldn't have to wonder long for people to notice. Because here's the truth. People notice those who do the word instead of just say the word. Instead of those who are just hearers. They know people who are doers. And when they need help, when they need to get something done, they come to people who do the word. Not just hear it. You won't have to wonder long. I can tell you that. But not just that. Well, I want you to think about the things of what would it look like if we as a church body determined right here, right now, so that we as a body were going to be doers and not hearers only. What would that look like? What would our congregation look like? What changes would have to happen? What changes wouldn't happen? What can stay the same? What are we doing good? I want you to think about that. If we as a body decide, I can say this, right? Our elders would be more free to shepherd the flock because they would be able to see who's trying and who's growing and who's not. Pretty easy. Our deacons would be very grateful because they wouldn't have to go around begging everybody to come and do the work of God. They wouldn't have to feel like either they have to have beg and plead and pry and cry or do it themselves. They'd be grateful. Raise prison ministry would have to go on a rotation because he couldn't take that many people all the time. Right? The youth stuff would be wonderful because I'd be like, okay, listen, like I've already got 5 people helping. If we as a body decide to be doers and not hearers only, let me tell you something else. We wouldn't have to go out into the community and tell people and explain to them where our church building is. Because they would know. Oh, you're the church that does this. I heard about you. That's what that would look like. And here's the kicker. I know that's what God wants. I know that's what God wants from me. I know that's what God wants from you. And I know that's what God wants from us as a body. Isn't that what you want? Isn't that what you want for this congregation? Isn't that what you want for your family? For yourself? You see, I want to challenge you right here, right now. Let's determine to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Let's not wait till tomorrow or the day after. Let's do it today, right now. If you're here this morning, I want to invite you to really open up God's word and to sit down and honestly evaluate whether you're a doer or a hearer only. And again, the answer to that question is not in the words that come out of your mouth, but by the life that you live Monday through Saturday. Are we doers or hearers only? If you're here this morning and you realize you need to make some changes, good. Good. I am glad. We want to help you do that. We want to help you be who God calls you to be. But it starts with knowing God and knowing His Son Jesus and deciding to live in that relationship with Him. If you don't know Jesus, that's where you start. That's the first thing you need to do. Let us help you do that. Let us help you make the changes you need to make for this year of 2020. If you have a need, please come as we stand and as we sing.